Hello, you're listening to Spoiler
Failed.
Film
Conversation.
Hooray! Woo!
Yeah, hello, I'm Richard Nicholas, and with me to chat about films is Abigail Bain
Hi there.
and Anthony Evans,
Hello.
and collectively, we are Film Bin. So, what our podcast is we chat about a film, you listen, and you go, along with it, and then either watch the film before or after, or, I mean, do what you want, but listen.
Preferably before.
It
Otherwise, a lot of
helps.
this wouldn't make sense.
That's true.
The film to watch before, during, or after this week is Wing Commander, and it was Abby's pick, so she will give you the details, and then we'll all know. Don't be watching the video game cutscenes. That's not what we watched. We watched the film, which apparently turns out to be more disappointing.
Wing Commander is from 1999. It is directed by Chris Roberts, who also wrote it with Kevin Droney. It stars Freddie Prinze Jr., Saffron Burrows, Matthew Lillard, Jackie Cario, Jürgen Prochnow, David Suchet, and David Warner. It is about two fighter pilots who join a space vessel in the mists of an interstellar war.
Or Top Gun in space.
Yes.
With a little bit of Hunt for Red October thrown in as well, because there's elements that's like a sort of submarine battle or something.
Yeah, that comes up quite often, doesn't it? Like it almost thinks it is a submarine film at points.
Well, the key word to spaceship in that, link is ship. Ships in space. That's how they do it. Although I don't know why we don't have space trains or space. I mean, sometimes you have space cars, but if you're exploring space, it's always in a ship rather than a, hot air space hot air balloon. Is that possible? You'd have it, covered in a bit of artificial gravity in the basket. Just a thought.
But it could have been the Air Force. There's a balance. But no, they even throw in the kind of Russian hat it look for all these people just to really hit home submarine film.
Yeah. So, Abby, why did you pick it? And then we'll say our expectations before we watched it.
I was basically watching things at random, and I watched Wing Commander. And then I liked it a bit, looked it up, and it turns out that everyone else sort of routinely hates it, and I thought that was a bit unfair. That it's not so bad that it deserves to be hated. I think it has a few merits myself.
So you wanted to champion a kind of abused and mistreated film and
Yeah.
say, look, it's not worthy of hate.
Yeah.
But then, it is, I guess, disappointing for people who played the games. I haven't particularly myself, but I've heard that Wing Commander 3 has a lot of like cutscenes with actors in, like Mark Hamill, Tom Wilson, and stuff, and is actually quite a good, engaging film that goes along with playing the game. So I guess maybe Wing Commander fans find themselves more disappointed or betrayed or anything like that.
So it had a touch of the Star Wars effect, in the sense that if the fans decide they don't like it, they burn it to death.
Yeah, I guess so. Or, Wing Commander could have done with even the failing Star Wars films have a sort of success of their own, don't they? I think Wing Commander is more like a sort of generic sci-fi, really. It's just, I think that's where I would say
Yeah. I
about
think
it.
you've got the right word there with generic. Because I watching like watching this film, it's like you've made the comparison already to Top Gun, which is the obvious one. But there are so many moments where you're like, oh, well, that's right out of Starship Troopers. Oh, that's right out of any kind of fantasy film right there. And it kept happening, and I think you've got it right there. It is so kind of generic.
But I was expecting it to be a bit poor because it had a reputation before Abby suggested it. But I expected it to be poor, but I also was like, oh, I can enjoy this. I can, get behind a bit of, like the idea of flying a spaceship, shooting alien scum, that could work out quite nicely. And I had no prejudices towards any element. I mean, I should have perhaps had some prejudices because two of the guys from the Scooby-Doo film are in it. And I don't like Scooby-Doo anyway. Even the best Scooby-Doo, like cartoons, not a fan of Scooby-Doo, find it annoying, which one of the few cartoons I don't like. And the films I find extra grating. I don't even know why I watched the live-action Scooby-Doo. So maybe I was a bit worried these guys were going to be, like, I don't know, Scooby-Doo in space. But they had nothing. It was nothing like that. It was just two actors with hair being generic space jerks. Well, Anthony, what were you expecting from it?
I think, yeah, I was... From watching the kind of, like, trailer and, like, seeing the poster and seeing the main cast, it was like, wow, this looks like a train wreck of great proportions. So that's kind of what I was expecting. I was just expecting utter trash and tosh because... Not just because of the way it looked, but like you said, it has a reputation of being quite bad, and I knew about it.
Mm.
So there was that. But I did a bit more research, and I looked up some of the cast, and like you see kind of David Warner and David Suchet, and you're like, okay, it's got a good kind of supporting cast. So maybe there's like an inkling of maybe it might be all right. So that's kind of what I was coming into.
Mm.
Probably the worst car crash you're ever going to see, but there's a chance it might be okay.
It can't be too bad.
People might have got out alive.
Yeah. Poirot, and then Poirot's there to just, you know, say who the murderer was. Probably, in this case, the writing staff. One thing, not to get too negative, generally speaking, the effects weren't as lousy as I thought they would be.
No, that's one of the main things that I found with this movie. It's like, I think, like, the first shot is of, after the credits anyways, of, you know, general space, planets, and ships. And even though it's generic, it looks really good for a 1999 film.
Yeah, generally speaking, the visual of space, I mean, space is dark, everyone knows that. It's got loads of stars, but unfortunately, they're far apart, so there's not a lot of light, and they occasionally go for when they haven't got black, kind of a yellowy colour. So I found myself finding it a bit drab, but you know, this, you know, they've
competent.
Done some work CGI wise.
Yeah,
I'm not in love with the visuals, but I was not underwhelmed. Abby, are you a fan of the visuals? Because I think it's one of the things you said was good about it.
I quite liked its aesthetic. Yeah, I've no idea how close it is to the original game. But given that Chris Roberts also created the idea for the games, I'm assuming that there's some correlation there. And just the way that even the spaceships look a little bit like submarines as well.
Mm.
And
yeah, some of the big ones do, yeah.
And I like that. I like the way it looks.
The sort of individual planes I'm not so fond of. They kind of look like, I don't know, guns with wings or something. But they just looked a bit uncool. I don't know, because if you can have any shape, because apparently, you know, aerodynamics aren't a thing in space, because, you know, no air to be, you know, it is, you can have whatever you want, and many sci-fis have took that and ran with it. But I thought occasionally they were a little bit unadventurous. So like, I don't know,
yeah, but all the spaceships were all just kind of like big blocks. It just looks like all other kind of space things ever.
Yeah, but they went to the effort of detailing these big grey blocks to make them look a little more impressive, I think. So there was detail and effort. I just, you know, trying to edge it towards something positive, because I feel like if we talk about the story, we will fall down on a few problems. But
can we talk about the story? Do you guys even kind of understand what happened in the middle there?
I want to put it like this. The thing I like about the story of this movie, per se, is what they tried to do rather than what they achieved.
Which, in your view, is...
Well, they did a sort of vaguely sort of race relations thing with him being half pilgrim.
We should contextualise, because you can't just say pilgrim, because you just think of like people with buckles on their hats. And,
I was going to.
No, okay, yeah, go on.
Because he's half pilgrim, which is a sort of space explorers who then sort of evolved a bit to be really good at space and be sort of... and their brains altered a bit so that they could do things that other people couldn't pertaining to space exploration.
Well, you didn't explain it any worse than the film did. But yeah, so there's like... In the future, when this is set, because, you know, space... Everyone's humans fly around space in spaceships, duh. And, you know, part of it is exploration, Star Trek. And they fight with alien races occasionally. In this film, it focuses on humans versus some cat blokes called, I want to say Targaryens. That's not right. That's Game of Thrones.
Kilrathi.
Although Kilrathi, again, sounds a bit Game of Thronesy, but how, they're obviously bad guys. They have the word kill and wrath in their name.
Yeah, they were cats.
Thundercats. Ho!
And they, like, as well as the kind of CG was doing up until that point, they were, wow, they were terrible.
But they were animatronic, weren't they?
Yeah, it's a shame, though.
They weren't in it much, which was kind of a shame because, you know, when you're fighting cat-human muscly men with guns, you want to see them. And also, I mean, the bad guys were anonymous for quite a while. They were just baddies by name.
The reveal wasn't gradual either. It just kind of happened. It's just like, oh, we're on the ship now and we're just surrounded by cat people. Let's get on with it.
I think that had something to do with... he wasn't particularly... I say he... Chris Roberts wasn't particularly happy with the way that the Kilrathi were looking through a lot of the production. Originally, they were furry, like they were in the games. And apparently that didn't look very good. So if he wasn't very happy with what he had, but he had to go with it, maybe he was trying to use them sparingly.
They kind of look a bit like panther, bald lizard men. They're not quite not lizard men, because they just, you know, they're human-ish, panthery things. I don't know. And they're always lit in green because, I don't know, their lights are green in their spaceships. But let's go back to the whole Pilgrim thing, because I think we need to sort out what we understand about the universe, because there were a bunch of humans who explored space initially, you said, and they, over time, evolved an ability to navigate really well in space.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a sort of sixth sense power thing, a sort of, I don't know if they have the ability to just know where asteroids are going to be or whatever, and they have this ability to navigate space better than humans, who are, I guess, not, they haven't got this thing, and it's become a sort of quasi-religion. It's like a race that broke away from humans and they feuded, and subsequently it's like they're kind of like the Native Americans of this universe. They were mistreated, there's a few of them, and people didn't trust them back in the day, kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah,
our main guy is one, or at least one of his parents was, and he has a little necklace that looks like a cross, but it's also some kind of weird spaceship or something, because sci-fi, and we're not making any allusions to Christianity in any way, imply that Christians know best and have superpowers and are gods. No, we're not implying that. It just looks a bit like a cross, so just a coincidence.
You forget, it was also some kind of dagger, which never came up again.
It was never useful. It could have been an ignition key, that would have been handy for, like, the spaceship flying. Yeah, it was a dagger in a cross spaceship-looking dealy. And, it didn't do any space shiving, did he?
No. He did not. And the pilgrims just didn't really come up. There was a bit of kind of racial tension thrown in a little bit.
We don't like his sort. He's not good. I'm not flying next to him. He's got pilgrimage about him.
I will
even
say
though they're all white guys except a few.
There's a lot of there was a lot of dissent in this film. It kept annoying me how many people just weren't listening to orders.
Yeah, good guys and bad guys who are going to learn to be good guys. All very they were all just, screw the rules. You know, they didn't care. They were very dangerous, bad flyers. There's an element of that, and that's the Top Gun thing, I guess, is being an arrogant, brash jock. Mm-hmm. and then, you know, you break the rules, but you get the job done. And it's like, no, in this case, health and safety is more than a nightmare, because you could literally kill people if you don't park that ship properly. I don't think you should line it upside down. Why is that one spinning it round and round? Come on, guys. Look, you're going to get someone killed, or see, you have ha in your face, Lillard.
Mm.
So there's the pilgrims. They're sort of hated for having a religion or an ability.
Mm.
But the main guy is sort of one and has the powers. And one of his bosses is secretly a pilgrim. So there's some intrigue.
So, you say secretly.
It was so obvious all the way through. You're quite right.
That was a little bit more like, say, the gay thing where it's asked to tell. Where it was totally obvious that he was, but because he didn't say it, he wasn't.
So he's like a super camp equivalent. Like, he wasn't camp, he was just, you know, he would always bang on about pilgrimness and be interested in the guy who is a pilgrim and trust the guy who has a pilgrim parent or aunt or whatever they're called around his neck, you know.
Mm.
He was super interested, so it came as no surprise. They totally telegraphed it, but it was about that a bit. And it was also about, I guess, because we have two guys who are friends joining another troop of, like, space cadet things, it was kind of about the new guy showing our protagonist showing a team of already friends, military people, not to be so, they had the problem of, we deny that our friends existed if they die, which is a really weird message to learn.
Which is just a terrible, terrible thing, really.
It's like, when people inevitably get killed in warfare, we say they never existed, despite all the proof to the contrary, presumably. Even though they have relatives, you have to inform.
Yeah, like, even though some of their friends want to remember them, we actively and angrily deny it.
Which, if someone didn't exist, you don't go around saying, they didn't exist. Oh dear, Pavarotti's dead. He never existed. Why are you saying he never existed if he didn't exist? Clearly you're aware he existed. He didn't exist. Why are you worried about it? If he didn't exist, I can tell you about them. And you can go, is it? Oh, it sounds like a nice bloke. You know, they never seemed to... They were like such petulant little children when they denied the life of anyone they were previously friends with who has been killed in action. Very, very odd. Abby, what can you say about this element of the film?
Well, weird as that is, one of the things that does get achieved by the film is over time is they sort of stop doing that a bit, because Blair and Marshall, which are the two pilots that come in, they do come in and go, that makes no sense. What are you talking about? I miss that guy. This person is dead, and that's sad. And yeah, then everyone just sort of has to admit that it's a bit dumb.
I guess I can deal with my grief like a normal person and be sad about people not deny their existence. Because, yeah, I think the first one is, which one's which of the two named people there? Mayhem, or was it? Or
Maniac.
Maniac and Blade, what was it?
Christopher Blair.
Yeah, Blair, he didn't have a nickname. Like, oh. Some people did, some people didn't. Didn't okay. go into it.
Maniac was a really lame nickname, though, in fairness. Well, he was a maniac, but in a sort of court-martial way, not in a, I'm a lad, kind of way that they played it off. So yeah, like, Blair was in the ship of Boss Man, who had previously died, not in the film or whatever. And then the female wing commander woman comes up and starts grilling him with stupid questions and being all kind of jerky and just like hassling him about it, but then denying the existence of the man who owned drove the spaceship he was in. And that was kind of how it came about, wasn't it, that we started seeing they deny the existence of the dead. Which will be all the more uncomfortable if zombies happen and they're all coming back. It's like, you don't exist, I don't have to worry about you.
Her name is Devereaux.
For
your information.
So she is the wing commander of this group, or are there more than one? Are there more than one wing commanders?
I think she's the wing commander.
Yeah.
So she's important because that's the title of the film. It's about It's about wing commanders or something. I don't know. She's why it's called that, I guess.
Even though there's no real reason.
They command the wing, meaning what? Like a group of planes? Like, I don't really... Like, no, I don't
I get
know...
that. It's just, why have they named the film after, like, the tertiary character who
probably
doesn't really do anything that much?
I guess the video game's kind of the reason for the name.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because you're gonna command the wing, aren't you? Yeah. But anyway, we got, like, a few characters, you know, to talk about now. I mean, I didn't... what'd you say her name was? Davros? Or what was her name?
Devereaux.
Could have been.
I've gone on a whole tangent now.
Sorry?
I've gone on a whole tangent now.
What do you mean?
Davros is Doctor Who villain.
Didn't he release a song on one of those reality? Oh, that's Darius.
Close.
Yeah. He had a song. He was, anyway. but, you know, she's a little generic and a bit of a dunderhead. Is that the word? Dunderhead. Can I use that?
I don't know. But is she?
Well, I just think she's such a... she's not a great leader because she's kind of in denial about these dead people. And, like, she kind of doesn't... I mean, she wants to execute Matthew Lillard's character, Maniac, after he causes a crash that wipes out his girlfriend. Oops, sad. And she's about to execute him on, like, the runway. So she's just a bit like, come on now. Is this really how it works in space? You just kill people? And she doesn't because, you know, it's a film and he's a character we need for the story.
You still wanted her to, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was so...
He totally deserved it.
Mm. I mean, you specifically wanted him to.
But Anthony agrees.
Oh, yeah, totally. Matthew Lillard, for the first half of the film anyway, like the second half, he didn't really do much. But the first half, he's just like, I hated everything he said and did. And his character, I don't know, and he was just too cocky and, like, too disobedient. And, like, he didn't get, the comeuppance that he deserved, really.
Yeah, and it wasn't in, like, a Tom Cruise Top Gun way. It was in a, you're obviously just a clear fan of Eminem because of your hair. And you're a goof. You're just a goofball. And there's no real, he just shows off and, like, you know, endangers lives, like whether it's crashing badly into the landing space or, you know, leaving it to the last minute to shoot the baddies for, I don't know why, because it'll be cooler.
And it made a bit more sense in, like, Top Gun, because, like, a lot of the stuff they were doing was, like, training and, like, wasn't of much consequence. But here, like, pretty much from the beginning, they're in the middle of a war and in the middle of a perilous, like, not battle slash journey to get to Earth to stop it from being blown up.
Yeah.
So it's like, come on, guys, a bit of perspective, please.
Stop mucking about.
And I didn't really buy that he was charismatic enough to make friends with and then love to one of the, well, the woman he ends up causing an accident. What was the name of the black lady who had blonde hair and was nice enough, but kind of stupid for seeing any...
Rosie.
Yeah, Rosie, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So she was she was fine, but it was like, why do you like this guy? He's a jerk. Like, because you're also obnoxious, I guess?
It's been a long space journey. Yeah. And he's one of only two people who have come in lately and appeared interested.
Okay. But, you know, she's bumped off, so we all feel sad, and he can learn a lesson, essentially. While Blair is having his... always being put in charge of stuff, despite no one really trusting him, liking him, and kind of having it like, oh no, we don't trust pilgrims, so... and we don't even know if these people who've come with a message to this new ship are spies. But he keeps being put, you know, on the mission and, you know, in the ranks and in a kind of just in charge of stuff a lot of the time, even though he's not really in charge. And, you know what I mean? He's thrust into everything, despite it winding everyone up.
Yeah, that was David Warner's fault.
Right.
I'm going to give you a really important mission to do. No one would like you.
Because I kind of sort of liked maybe your father.
Yeah. A bit.
I have a religious prejudice towards you, and you're going to prove me right.
And you just so happen to be on the ship that is led by my secret kind of spy commander. so he can join in too.
Yeah, anyway, like, it's all very important, though, because, you know, reasons, these tiger blokes or panther blokes or the I'm going to get the name right, it's Kill Threat? What are they called?
Kilrathi.
Kilrathi, there we go. And they are bad, and they're like the Klingons or something, because they just shoot stuff and blow it up. That's what they did in Star Trek, right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so they're similar. They're just they're baddies, and they, yeah. they're gonna attack Earth, but it takes a normal amount of time. It's all a big rush to send a message to some... they have to get to a certain... Like, I didn't quite understand it all, because it was...
Yeah.
We have to travel lots of ways in a quick way with our special ships. I didn't really follow it.
Yeah, this is a big thing for me, because I was enjoying the film at the beginning. Like, the opening scene is okay. It's got, like... It kind of showcases all its kind of special effects really well, and it kind of nicely introduces you to the kind of plot and, what's going to happen the rest of the film, about them stealing the kind of map of humanity kind of thing. And it's going quite well, and it's like, okay, it's a kind of chase to kind of hold them off or stop them before they get to Earth kind of thing. And then it just gets so convoluted. It's like David Warner, like, who is running Earth, I suppose, sends some data to a small ship, and that small ship then has to go to a bigger ship, and then that bigger ship then has to go to some sort of quasar, but on the way there, they go somewhere else and track something else, even though they're on a time-sensitive mission to stop the world from being blown up. It's, ugh. It just got too convoluted, and, like, just there were parts where I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, I didn't really follow when... If they're passing messages on, why are they engaging with the enemy? I mean, if the enemy's there, they have to, perhaps. But they seem to be in positions where they take on the Kilrathi and, oh, no, it's too soon, don't jump the gun. Oh, no, it's a sabotage, we have to get back to the ship. It was all like, what do you mean, why? What? Aren't we just on a mission? Like, essentially, if it was like a boat, if it was about like military, like if it was set when the world was all being conquered by ships and pirates and stuff, you'd send a message with a quicker ship to the fleet to tell them to get back to Britain or wherever you're protecting, and everyone can be in place for when, you know, an invading army attacks or whatever. You could kind of go, okay, the small fast ship needs to go to the big ships and warn them, and they'll save the day because they've got a big, fast, powerful ship with lots of guns or something. Like, you can kind of get behind, and then you kind of get lost in, like, hiding in asteroid fields and doing the weird space jump thing. What was that? Did they travel a long distance quickly and it was hard to navigate for some reason? I didn't really follow that, you know?
Again, not particularly clear, but I think they had some sort of like space, like generic space jump thing going on.
I suspect that that's to do with the game, and that in the context of the game, it made sense because it was a means to an end. Because in games, you want that fast travel element to get from one place to another, and you don't really question it because it's so convenient.
Yeah.
And then when they got to the film, they couldn't really change it because there wasn't... It wasn't worth it, I guess.
It just seems like everything's just space jargon, and we need the gizmo-y mabob for the space doodle dad, and then the thing won't work unless we contact the blah blah blahs, you know, like,
yeah, like shields are at 30%, reroute power from blah blah blah,
yeah. It was all that stuff and more.
Yeah,
there was that one bit you liked though, Rich, where he was actually messing with things in the back of the ship when something went wrong. He wasn't just dutting buttons.
That's right, there was that. They have like they get attacked by, you know, people shoot at the thing, like, duh. I mean, everything's just so spaceships, one shoots another one, it gets damaged, they need to fix it, and it was, I'll just tap the keys till it works, and then the guy who actually fixes it goes and pulls apart stuff. Like, if your laptop breaks, you don't keep tapping the keys, you open that bad boy up, start tinkering, right? Like, you gotta physically do something, like, check the power supply, you know, do something physical, don't stand there tapping the keys, I'll just fix it by tapping, it's fine. That makes no sense. But there were lots of stuff in this that make no sense. Some of the other things about it are just like, well, I'm pretty sure that's not how that would make sense. And that, like, there's just, you know, sci-fi things. We go, well, it's science fiction. There's going to be problems with the science. But there were some bits where you're like, I guess because it was like a submarine at times, you could relate to it. Like, it felt at times it was like a boat or a submarine, and therefore you kind of go, oh, I get how this works. Like, you know, like the general warring of the ship, I get. Kind of. But so, where are we at in terms of plot? What do we need to discuss? Because we've got all our people. They're on a mission that we don't fully understand, but is very fine and dandy because they're the good guys. What's the real, like, you know, drive of the film? Or the, I guess, what do we need to discuss here?
Well, the thing of it is, a large component of their mission was to slow down the Kilrathi fleet.
Yeah, because they need to delay them. For, oh, it's like a 2-hour thing, isn't it? Delay them, yeah. So that's why they're fighting.
So that's not so much a story motivator as... It's a motivation for them, but it doesn't really work as a motivation for the plot.
Yeah, if you're going to play a video game, you need to have lots of reasons to fight the spaceships and shoot away and survive and do the levels, don't you? You know, makes sense. But yeah, in a film, it's just, you know, they're all out there in their little ships. Oh, they're often talking to each other as if they're looking at each other through the window, although, you know, the space is pretty big, guys. You can spread out and maybe not just look at each other through your own windows, which seems like a very... You're all radio-connected. You can all just talk from wherever you are, so... There just seemed to be a lot of conversations that were jockish in nature and between let's shoot the thing or hide behind the rock thing.
Yeah, you're right. I'm kind of struggling to kind of think of key moments because they're all just kind of like, oh, they're in the plane and they're shooting at these aliens and then they're inside their own ship and they're having generic conversations that all army films have.
Yeah. It really ticks a long list of tropes from films. It's just so like filled with the stuff that always happens. You kind of know where everything's going essentially. Actually, one of the things I don't know, uniform wise, like sometimes a sci-fi tries to be a bit special or tries to second guess the future fashions, and in this case they were all a bit normal apart from when they were in their, you know, wing plane in their spaceships. They were kind of in red helmets with that looked a bit goofy. They had little plastic eye thingies to look through for some reason. But I didn't really rate the costumes and the uniform design. What do you think, guys?
That's one of the things I liked about it was that it was fairly restrained, because I've seen a lot of sci-fis that have tried to make up for things by making everyone look odd and unusual.
So you find it more acceptable that an army, like a military people would all have sort of reasonable uniforms, and
yeah,
you didn't want it to be adventurous. But no. Do you like the red things? I thought the like red helmets and face masks looked a bit. You know.
Well, again, I'm attributing that to the game. I don't know that.
It was too much speculation about the game. We haven't played it, though.
I know, but surely, at least, I know aesthetically they did diverge from the game a little bit for, you know, convenience and difference. But broad strokes, there must be stuff that's based on the game.
Well, you know, I think the early Wing Commanders would have been like top-down, shooty space games, you know, so there wasn't. And then later on, when they get more updated, they, you know, have actors and stuff. But I guess. I don't know. I mean, I didn't care for it, but you're saying you're kind of defending it a bit by saying it was restrained, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it sounds like it's just one of those things where I've watched a lot of science fiction, and science fiction has come from a certain place in terms of its aesthetic and what goes on. But and I think you've seen different things.
I like more character-filled ones where you've got individuals, not, you know, everyone's the same with a different face. There's only so much you can do with someone who's sitting in the cockpit of their fighter pilot-y spaceship. So they're going to have a helmet, and there's only so much you can do. I mean, you know, in Star Wars, they often had, like, unhuman characters. And in this, there's not really any aliens amongst the humans. But even in Star Wars, they have a lot of humans with, you know, fighter pilot claws on. So I guess there's not that much you could do with it. Mm-hmm. It did annoy me. They kept taking their oxygen masks off to talk, you know, jock stuff to each other.
That annoyed me, but then it's kind of, what can you do?
Yeah.
They have to show their faces.
Although they could just talk on the radio like you're supposed to, whatevs. But then, essentially, we just have it, you know, people learn a few lessons and get on. They get over their sort of denying the death of their comrades, just because, you know, there's only so long they can all be obnoxious without them eventually learning something. And
they also had, like, in between all that, the most out-of-place and forced Matrix reference ever.
Go on.
You mean in the canteen during the jump?
Yes, I do. And it lasts so little, and it adds nothing to anything. It's just
a beverage does look cool when it's spilling, and we slow motion, like, go around it and watch it spill.
This is true, but it only ever happened once, and it was so quick and so just kind of naff that it was obviously just like, ooh, the Matrix just came out. Put this shot in your film somewhere, please.
Yeah. Generally speaking, whenever we're like in the ship where they're all just hanging out, they just all behave like jerks. Like, I think when they introduce themselves, Blair and Maniac, they, like, one of them stands on a table and starts mouthing off about how he's the best and his friend's the second best or something. And it's like, you guys are going to be intolerable. And then everyone else sort of proves themselves to be equally jockish and annoying. I don't know. I found them quite a dislikable bunch. I kind of wanted the Kilrathi to destroy Earth, if that's what Earth puts out there to explore this universe.
Yes, and a lot of these people were just like irrationally kind of prejudiced against stuff.
Yeah.
Like, especially, I think there's like the second in command guy. He's got like a scarred face, and he just doesn't trust anyone.
Commander Paul Gerald. I have trouble remembering his name because it's two first names.
And it seemed like he was just there to have like opposition to the main characters. Even though he didn't do anything, he just spouted it off.
Yeah. And David Suchet is only really there to be like a stern captain who gets injured and is then not in it very much, or dead or something. Not really sure. They crack his head, so he's bleeding. And, he's not in it now. And then most of the crew on the big ship was just sort of background scene. They almost did nothing other than just say, you know, generic-y space stuff. Like, and then there's like a British guy from Queer as Folk was in it, but he did a really poor job of saying every line.
Oh, I didn't want to say it, but yeah, you're right.
Everything he said was just this weak British voice chirping in with just something boring. And or not being underwhelmed by the crash or whatever happens, you know?
Mm.
I think there's a black guy I didn't know from anything who was also doing the same sort of job of turning up, standing there, taking orders and pressing keys on the computer.
Are you talking about Hugh Quashie?
Is that who he is? What's he in?
Lieutenant Obutu. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, that's the one.
He's in Highlander.
Oh, is he the black Highlander guy who eventually... Kogan takes down. Spoilers.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Abby, but he didn't do much in Wing
Commander.
Yeah,
but you might at least have recognised him.
Well, he's usually rocking around the world in his cool clothes, chopping off heads. He wasn't doing that in this case.
I think he's also a regular cast member of the British serial drama Holby City.
Okay. But any of these actors on the big ship, they didn't have much to do. You know, at least the jockish Wing Commander and her crew of guys who do space shooting, they got a bit of, you know, got their chat on and had rivalries to some extent, or had to, you know, they had some stuff to do to act off of rather than just sitting about in a blue lit room going, oh no, it's all shake about like it's like a 1950s sci-fi, you know. Oh, space is so shaky, you know.
But yeah, like, there's not much more that happens in the film, is there?
Turns out
there's a point where they like catch up with them, sort of, and reclaim their navigation device and find out where they'll be appearing when they come to attack Earth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the main ship is like damaged, so they send off like the smaller ships.
Mm.
And that's about it, really.
See, one of the things where I feel a bit of sympathy for the Kilrathi is as the humans get the upper hand by finding out where all of the ships are going to teleport in or whatever you want to call it, they get to kill all the Kilrathi one by one, with each one they kill can't tell the one behind them to not come through the porthole thing, and then they're killed.
Sad.
So it's just like a queue of death where we wipe out a race that we know nothing about other than their big cat blocks. And they're just like, well, I kind of feel bad. Like, if we don't know their history, we're just wiping out a people, or at least an army of, you know, people who haven't got that much motivation to be killed. I mean, they're baddies and they're going to attack us, but I feel, you know, that would be a step too far.
Yeah, it was pretty much genocide, kind of, wasn't it?
But we're humans, so we support them as fellow humans.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know, I could have done with more. I know, they could have been better villains. They could have done more than be a generic threat.
Yeah, just had more of a presence, like.
Yeah, the Klingons, from what I understand, are big jerks and have got previous. You know, isn't that the gist? Is they don't just turn up and are baddies. They, you know, have a bit of dialogue, or, you know, they've done something to show that they're baddies.
Why are you insisting on talking about a franchise you know nothing about?
It's because Klingons are like the most kind of cliched, generic kind of thing you can think of. When like you think of sci-fi, and this is what this film is prompting, really, let's be honest.
And like, I have not seen much Star Trek, but I have an understanding of the reputation of the Klingons, and I've never heard of Kilrathi people, and I want to know more, because they're cool looking dudes who are part cat and live in space, and well, yeah, they, you know, they're still, I have an affection for the on Earth we have lions and tigers that breed to become ligers or tigons, and they are massive cats, and they are cool. And I think if they became like humans who could fire guns, I'd be scared, but curious. I instantly feel sympathy for big cat people, that's all. I also was a fan of Thundercats, so why would the big, muscly cat people do harm? That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So I will refrain from referencing Star Trek and Doctor Who because I don't watch them properly. What should I say about it? I mean, I can only really talk about the Top Gun elements, the Red October similarities. And really, it kind of concludes fairly nicely with the bad guys lose, the good guys win. Let's all go home and play foosball.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I mean,
I don't know. This is odd because I've kind of run out of things to say about the film.
You've run out of things to say about the plot, to be fair. I think there's more things to say about the film.
Okay.
But you're right. It's the weakest point is the plot. And there are things in it that they tried a bit. And it's like, they did a little bit of the race thing to try and bring that up. They tried to do a genuine character development emotional thing with Maniac and getting someone killed and it doing him over. But because they had so little time, they didn't do it well.
So what you're saying is you like that it's a sci-fi that's trying to moralise and teach us something about human nature and human behaviour. Like, it's trying to deal with grief. It's trying to deal with, it's trying to deal with prejudices and stuff about religious intolerance. And you like that it's tackling that.
Or at least having a go. It fails, but I find it endearing that it tried.
Well, I think because it fails, that's why I don't have any sympathy. If it had successfully done any of these elements, I'd be like, oh, it's at least commendable, you know?
I recognize that the film is very competently made, but that still doesn't make it good.
No.
It's just so... the only thing I can think of describing it is that constantly they're referring to Fred Prince Jr.'s last name, Blair. And every time I heard it, all I heard was Blair.
Blair.
Blair. And that's Blair. Exactly the perfect kind of noise to sum up this film. It's just Blair.
They're a little
It's not horrible. It's not brilliant. It's just also generic and bleh.
Are you saying that's your rating? It's the noise Blair?
I suppose. Unless we can think of some other kind of better subject to tackle.
I'm sorry we railed against your pick, Abby, but it's just unfortunately, as I think about it and recall different elements, I get wound up not... I don't find myself appreciating what I attempted.
All right.
You know, I just sound a bit annoyed that we didn't like it.
Well, I'm not annoyed. I'm a bit disappointed that you didn't quite... It's another one of these... It's another dog with one eye.
You feel sorry for it. Me and Anthony want to put it out of its misery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the things I put forward are Dogs with One Eye, where I've looked at this film and gone, oh, look what it's trying to do, poor thing.
I think we all do that once in a while. But no, I think you're right. I can see there's definitely people trying to make a good film here, and more or less succeeding in some more technical parts. But
they need to try again, I think.
They got some of the tools. They just need to be more innovative and come up with newer stuff or do something more, make more likable characters or something.
Mm.
Yeah, just give more attention to kind of the characters and the kind of world they inhabit. That's what it needed.
So,
and not have this giant kind of chosen one / matrix kind of thing going like over the top of everything.
Do you agree, though, that people have been a bit harsh to it?
Oh, yeah, totally. Coming into this film, it was nowhere near as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Because that was my main point of putting it forward, is that while it's... You have to be someone like me in order to like it a bit, but that the sort of terrible reputation that it has is actually fairly undeserved.
No, there's loads of films that are offensively bad. It's failing to be brilliant is not that terrible, but it isn't altogether like lacking in talent. It's just, you know, it's just misses a few opportunities, and you know, it's kind of it's a shame, but it's not terrible. It's not like worthy of calling betrayal. And I mean, you know, you're probably just disappointed if you'd like to win Commander as a game and then the film doesn't live up to your expectations. But, you know, it's serviceable, and it's just, you know, it could be a lot better. That's all. It's a shame.
Hmm. I'll take that. If we've just vilified, that's not the right word.
We have vilified, but we also...
as long as we've got over that it's not as bad as everyone says it is.
No.
I'm okay with that.
So I think it's in a similar category to Starship Troopers, which has a kind of weird reputation as being a terrible film. But then I think people miss the fact that, you know, Starship Troopers is a satire and kind of deliberately, you know, over the top and that kind of movie. Whereas this is just a generic that kind of movie without being deliberately over the top and funny and exciting and mad. And then it's not quite moral. It's not quite clever and moralistic. It's not thinky enough to sort of lower my vocabulary a bit. It's not a thinky sci-fi, but it's not a kind of cool blood and gut sci-fi. You know, it's not like it's kind of meant to be dogfights in space, but then it kind of, you know, isn't one or the other, and that's a shame. If I was to try and rate it as anything, I would say it is a Wing Commander. Well, I don't know. I'm really struggling with this week's rating. Have you got anything, Abby, you'd like to say? And I'll think about it some more.
I'm trying to think of a food.
It's a chicken wing commander. A little bit spicy, and you might choke on the bones.
I don't know, I'm just trying to think of one of those foods that looks a certain way so people don't give it a chance. And if they did give it a chance, they might like it, they might not like it, but it shouldn't just be judged on the way that it looks. That's what I'm trying to get to.
I've got a similar thing, but instead of like people, either they like it or they don't, they just kind of taste it, and it's the most bland kind of thing they've ever had. However, it will sustain their life, so yeah, they can finish it if they like.
Couscous.
Couscous.
Or like porridge.
Yeah.
I reckon it is kind of like a chicken wing because, I mean, one for the link of the word wing, but also because sometimes you have chicken wings thinking, oh, yeah, it's nice, you know, tasty chicken, spiciness, perhaps, and then it's mainly bone, and it is a bit disappointing, and sometimes they're too hot, but we've got some particularly, they promise spicy, tasty chicken wings, but they're actually almost flavourless because they're from, you've bought them from a late night garage heater thing. What are those things called? They have like bags of chicken in a garage that just keep them warm in there. One of those. Just like a oven. It's not an oven. It's like just a warm display. Anyway,
I'm sure people will understand.
Late night chicken wings from a garage. They don't really fulfill you, but like Abby said, they keep you alive. So you can't, they're not nutritionally bankrupt, they're just not fun and interesting.
Yes.
I guess.
I have failed to think of an adequate metaphor this week, but I think I've got my point across already.
Well, you steered us into the disappointing foods territory.
I did.
You said they were couscous.
No, I was giving that to Anthony.
Well, Anthony, you know, just came up with, what was your analogy initially? It's like Blair.
Can either of you think of a food that has a particularly bad reputation, but when you actually try it, it's just kind of, oh, well, I don't know what that was about.
Something like stewed steak or something. Because, like, you with stewed steak, it comes in a can, first of all, so that's a bit odd.
Mm.
And then you look at it, and it's not quite the right colour, and it doesn't quite smell the right smell. But then you eat it, and it's like, that was okay.
It was fair.
I think it's like Weetabix a bit, because people often hate Weetabix with a passion. And to be honest, Weetabix are fine, but you probably would need to chop up some strawberries or something. You need to add to the Weetabix.
Yes, it needs the garnish.
Yeah, so you can understand that initially people can dislike just, you know, twigs in a bowl mushed up, but you have to add to it a little bit of sugar, a little bit of, you know, fruit, and you can make a serviceable dish/film, and this needed a bit of chopped strawberry to make it digestible, which I think it sadly lacked.
Okay, that'll do.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
But stop ragging on Weetabix, maybe stop ragging on Wing Commander as much, but
yeah, you don't have to like it, just leave it alone.
I don't think
it doesn't deserve your abuse.
I don't think it exists. It failed me, and therefore it didn't exist. That's what I've learned. Is if you don't like something and it's gone, or you did like something and it's gone, you just denial.
It's gone.
Denial is the best. No. So we didn't watch Wing Commander. I didn't have that conversation. It's dead to me. Therefore, it never happened.
And we have no opinions.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Why are we saying goodbye from a podcast we didn't do?
That was my head exploding, by the way.
Explosion. Oh,
okay. It got all head gunk on me.
Oh.
I kept being confused by David Suchet's grey eyebrows. Because obviously he's allowed to go grey in his old age, but I think he was grey, it made him grey to look older than he was for some reason. It just, his eyebrows looked weird.
Oh, there was one thing I remember that really got on my nerves.
Go on.
Was when, like, what's his face? Shaggy. Like, has that accident with his, like, lover lady. And she's coming in and then she crash lands.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a whole scene where it's like, no, we've got time to go and fetch her. And
they just tip her off the
And they thing. Just tip her off the side of the thing. And it's like, first of all, cruel.
Yeah.
Second of all, why didn't you just... You had this big, like, space bulldozers. Why didn't you just, like, move crack it out of the way slightly or go to the end to give them enough space? Three, things don't fall off things in space.
Yeah, they all landed there. They can't just float off because you pushed it off the left side.
I thought you were going to bring up that nobody actually checked.
Yeah, she.
Oh, I mean, that too. She
And what was weird is she was so smug about everything all the time as well. She didn't. She didn't seem that fussed on the fact that she could die, even when she was maybe going to crash land and die. She was like, "It'll be fine." Like, no, you're dead now. It serves you right for having such a stupid boyfriend and being smug. But you're right, they could have saved her. It was ridiculous.
It was just such a... It seemed just so cruel just to, like, kind of shove her off the side.
It's like the idea that if someone falls off, like, a pirate ship, you can't go back because we have to... Like, you have to keep going forward. There's no time to go back. It's not what... But she was just accessible, not on fire, there. But no, we must get the bulldozer out and destroy the wreckage out the way because no one else was landing. But in case someone needs to land, got to clear the runway.
The one bit that annoyed me a lot is that you know when Maniac like tied that thing around his waist so that he could rescue.
Oh yeah,
Blair.
Oh
yeah. He was bleeding from the mouth. He was bleeding at the waist. He had a bandage on for about an hour and then he was fine.
Yeah. Well, that was a scene that kind of, you know, did something. It was like, oh, there's a hole in the ship, so we'll now be sucked out of it. No, I'm holding on by a thread. Ah, quickly, get a bit of wall to patch it up. Chuck but the again, wall at the hole. That'll do. Yay.
But again, it's like, how many times have you seen that scene in a film?
Everyone getting sucked off a ship.
There's a hole in the ship. Oh, we're getting sucked towards it. Oh, we have to rescue someone and patch it up somehow.
Oh, no, yeah. I've slipped now and I'm holding on. Yeah. So, yeah, some extra points. That's good.
Castigare. His name's Castigare in Highlander.
Castigare. They were very forgettable characters. If I didn't know who like a couple of them were from other things, I'd be like, it's face guy again with hair. Like, hair man. Blonde one. Brown one. Brown head one. Yeah, sure, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. They're all in suits. And those hats. I didn't like the hats. I don't know. Anyway, here we are.